Welcome back to the Practical Spirituality Podcast. We are so excited to have you on this journey with us, where we explore all elements of mind, body, emotions, and soul through the lens of everyday life. In this week's episode, we talk about self-sabotage and the unexpected ways it leads to growth.
What a week.
What a week. It has been an incredible nightmare.
It's been a long week. I don't even know where to begin for the listeners to understand our process for number one of when we normally record these kind of episodes, but then also it's just the week itself. So basically, myself and Kim normally try to get one or two episodes ahead more often than not when it comes to it, so that we never fall behind schedule, which normally works out. And we even done that before launching season two, and throughout the entire process, that's all the way it's been. This week, however, the subject that we were wanting to cover was self-sabotage. And upon this recording at the moment, it's actually Friday, and we recorded self-sabotage on Monday, but then we also recorded it the Monday before also.
Yes.
So in this episode, we also want to re-record self-sabotage. So this will be our third take of self-sabotage. Myself and Kim were laughing, going, maybe we're just extreme experts in self-sabotage and we didn't realize it. But this is what's kind of funny about it, is because on Monday we recorded, we were both happy with that recording. And then yesterday we recorded, we were both happy with that recording. And when I was getting it ready to go over to our sound engineer, we realized that the audio, we couldn't use it due to technical issues.
Yes.
And then, of course, there was just in myself and Kim's life this week, there's been a lot going on in our personal lives, but also professional lives. So it's just been very hard to keep up. So we decided today we're just going to open the book and try to re-record self-sabotage and lean into it, because it's even hard to remember what we have and haven't talked about this week. So I would imagine we're going to be probably a little bit all over the place, because and it's going to feel like we're repeating ourselves, because technically we are, and we're not going to know who's heard what even from each other. So should be fun.
I think you should also add what happened the first time we tried to record self-sabotage.
I don't know if we have to go there.
I think we should go there, because I think that's the fun part of this whole equation. And if we can't have fun, what's the point, right?
So to give even more context, since the start of the season, we've always had subjects that we want to discuss. And I think one of them is often self-sabotage and basically the spiritual journey of self-sabotage, going into more of the details, how we do it consciously and subconsciously. So we had our first go at it, as I mentioned, last Monday, and during that recording it was a great start, right? 20 minutes in,
yes,
everything was going smoothly. And of course I clearly wanted to have the wonderful experience of self-sabotaging during the recording of self-sabotage. So during that session we were having a wonderful conversation about self-sabotage. We were even talking about the different examples on a human level, how we would have done it in our own individual lives, even went through definitions. And it was 20 minutes into this great recording that I was actually quite excited about, and I think we both were. And Kim asks me a very innocent, straightforward, practical question. And all of a sudden, for me, it was lights out. And what I mean by that is that there was no thoughts, even less than usual, in the sense of I just couldn't answer Kim. And I know from looking at Kim's face, she knew exactly what was going on in that moment. And there was, because in the past, this was something that did happen in season one from time to time, which we were both quite aware of. But right. I feel as that it was really interesting, because in that moment of talking about self-sabotage and being able to experience it like that, the emotions and what it done to my mind and how I was actually pulling the cord on something that I actually really wanted to do was fascinating to experience as we were actually talking about it. And myself and Kim in that moment, well, we had to stop the recording because there was nothing coming out of my mouth.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And during that time, it brought up a lot of emotions. It brought up a lot of vulnerability, all of those things. And I think it's something that a lot of us can relate to about self-sabotage in a lot of different ways. So I was actually excited to be able to jump back on and, I guess, talk about it once again from a very human level, from a practical level, from definitions, but also from a spiritual level of what that was like.
And I think we need to add the context that lots of times you and I record at certain times, and last week there were particular times we couldn't actually record. Yep. And so we had set up to record on Monday, and it was all good. And I went to help my daughter with something and ended up having an accident, tripping, ramming my head into a fence post, basically giving myself a little concussion. So that by the time we showed up on Monday night to record, and I, being the great professional that I am, persevered through it all. But then we had the technical difficulties.
So I think everyone can relate to listening to us. It's just been one of those weeks. And I don't know if anyone else has been experiencing that this week as well, of it just being strange energy in the air and certain events occurring and maybe things not going to our human plan, and life seems to have a very different plan for the week that everyone's had. But nonetheless, we're here and we actually are looking forward to diving back into self-sabotage, and hopefully it won't happen on this recording.
Well, we just had to perfect it before we could talk about it. You know, we like to speak from experience. And so I think we've managed to do that now. So we should be safe.
We should
right?
be safe, technically. But technically. I'll believe it when I see this episode live. In talking about this, and I'm sure there'll be parts of this episode that I'm sure for us will feel all over the place because we just don't know what we have and haven't covered due to previous things not working out. It's a fascinating subject, self-sabotage. And it is something that I feel everyone can relate to some degree. And whether we're consciously or subconsciously unaware of that or aware of it, maybe through this conversation, it will give people some insights or some awarenesses of maybe how they're doing it in their own lives. And maybe this conversation will help people figure out those behaviors, those patterns, and maybe assist them in maybe changing a few of them or evolving with them.
Right. I think so too. And I think what I'm excited to talk about is, as we've just experienced in the last 2 weeks, the self-sabotage that's happened for this particular episode has not been because either one of us have been trying to control it, not because either one of us really didn't want to get to episode 10. It was none of those things. But for whatever reason, we weren't meant to be doing it till we're sitting here right now. Take three.
We'll wait until it's published because it could be take four or five if we're not careful.
Maybe.
Maybe.
My point being is a lot of people think self-sabotage is we're doing it to ourselves and that there's a reason that we're doing it to ourselves, where there's often many other things going on that doesn't necessarily mean we are trying to sabotage ourselves.
And I know we'll probably go through a few different themes around the subject, meaning we'll look at it from the very human perspective and mind, body, emotions, but we'll also maybe talk about the spiritual reasons to why we're built to self-sabotage in that way at many different stages throughout our life, or sometimes hit that glass ceiling where we feel we just can't progress maybe in the way we would like, or even if we know we're capable of doing it, it's just something seems to be getting in the way in those components, which I think we can all relate to. Getting into it, actually looking at the definition of what self-sabotage is. So basically, self-sabotage is when people do or don't do things that block their success or prevent them from accomplishing their goals. It can happen consciously or unconsciously. Self-sabotaging behaviors can affect our personal and professional success, as well as our mental and emotional and physical health. So that's obviously the official definition of it. But I think what's always interesting is all the different symptoms, if you want to call them, of self-sabotage that we all experience in different ways. And it's only when you actually read the list that you realize how we actually might be doing this to ourselves, not even monthly or weekly, but actually daily is kind of the reality of it. So as part of this list, it actually says refusing to ask for help, controlling or micromanaging behavior, picking fights or starting conflicts, setting goals that are too high or either too low, avoiding or withdrawing from others, negative self-talk and extreme self-criticism, making excuses or blame shifting, undermining your goals and values, substance abuse, overspending, or overdoing it in other ways, and constantly seeking approval and reluctance to speak up for yourself. So I don't know about you, but reading that list, I think I have a number of memories and a number of experiences that tick all those boxes.
I think so too. And I think we would not have normally called things like negative self-talk or criticism or people-pleasing or seeking approval as self-sabotaging behaviors.
Yep.
And they're certainly not conscious sabotaging behaviors at any rate.
Yep.
So I think it's a very interesting topic that we're about to jump into. And I'm sure every single person listening to this podcast has many examples in their own life, and we can all pick out how those are happening. But I think one of the things we have to delve into is, how do we know what to do when it's an unconscious behavior? Let's start there, maybe. When it's unconscious behaviors like that negative self-talk or the controlling or setting the goals too high or setting the goals too low, how do we start to get to the bottom of that?
Well, I think like most things we talk about on the podcast, it's in the process of trying to build self-awareness as much as possible in mind, body, emotions, and depending on the topic or subject, but building that self-awareness in the different ways that we are continuing to get on our own way in life. And if that means that things aren't working out the way we thought it would be, or we feel that life is against us, or things keep going wrong, I think it's actually trying to take a step back and question it more to be able to grow the awareness to be able to understand mind, body, emotions, because obviously we are naturally blind to certain elements of how we get in our own way because we live in or within ourselves every single day. So we can't see a different angle. And I do feel that's why you and I would always say to each other that often talking to other people, getting professional help, getting advice from people that we trust can be huge in being able to actually build our self-awareness, to actually see the ways in which we're getting in our own way, because the ways in which we self-sabotage can be so, I want to say, sneaky at times, that we really don't believe that it's us getting in our own way, but often it can be.
Well, absolutely. So one of the things on the list that you read was the addiction or substance abuse.
Yep.
So one of the things that I like to talk to people about all the time when I'm helping people, and I refer back to my own experience, when I first experienced alcohol or drugs in any way, shape, or form, at that time, it felt like it was helping me.
Mm.
So it became a coping strategy that was helping me at the time. Then you fast forward years later, and I'm full-blown into alcoholism and drug addiction, and it is no longer helping me. Yet I don't know how to get, or I didn't know how to get out of it at that stage. So those are some of the examples. And I say that even with people who are doing the pleasing behavior, for example, they think that this is just, I'm not people pleasing, or I'm not getting my self-esteem from that. They think that's just part of their personality. When I go, you know what, in the beginning, that pleasing had a purpose and it was helpful. Is it helpful today? You know, and we look at the patterns, we can see that it's no longer helpful. And then once we start to see that, then we start to strategize on how we can change that behavior.
I agree. But I think what's also interesting is that it's very tricky to see the ways in which we self-sabotage, because often there are patterns and behaviors that's passed on from our parents, from our family, from our caregivers, from society around us. So therefore, if everyone else is actually self-sabotaging in a similar way, and that's actually quite a long list that I read out in the different ways that we do it. So if that's what's normal for us within ourselves and for normal to see other people doing it, it's very hard to see how it's a problem, so to speak, at times, because if it's considered normal. I know from even the little bit of research that we've done, you always see online, there's 5 ways to do this and 10 ways to do that. But of course, they're always a bit high level. But in some of the examples, it is about developing self-awareness, writing out a plan, writing out goals, and then also becoming aware that if you're not meeting your goals, start to question yourself to why. And I think there's 2 ways to look at that. There's ways in which we do get in our own way, being self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. But then there's also understanding the difference when life does get in the way also, because I think there's 2 different components there. And building that awareness on both can actually help with the self-criticism and the negative talk towards ourselves, But that is a process, as you and I both know, for over many, many years, because even this week with the podcast, I know that when we were recording last Monday, that wasn't life that got in the way. That was my journey that got in my way for me to have certain realizations and mind, body, emotions, to study it, to question, whatever it might be. This week, however, it was most definitely life, because you and I have tried to turn up and to try to do the recordings and let it be technical issues, other events. Mm-hmm. So it's not blaming it. I think it's just having that awareness that both can occur at different times in anyone's life.
And I think you said a really important thing there when you said that first time that it happened, it was for you to have the awarenesses, for you to have the experiences so that you could understand what that actually meant. And that is huge to understand, because most of us think we just want to go back into that self-criticism, self-deprecating pattern of, see, you can't do it, you never could do it, blah, 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 instead of going, well, wait a second, if I just step out of the emotional side of it for a minute and look at it for what it is, oh, I see, I was having this experience because maybe I didn't think I was actually sabotaging in any way, you know. So having that experience showed you a new way of looking at it. And when you often say this, Gareth, you often say, if we get curious when these things happen, instead of just, oh gosh, it didn't work again, blah, blah, blah. Or as so many people come to me and say, I can't stand failure. Can't do failure. Can't stand it. Well, and I turn around and go, well, failure is the only way that we learn. It's through the failure that we have the opportunity to get curious and go, oh, well, what was that about? How was it a problem for me? What happened inside of me?
Yeah, because I think it's that even for the podcast, for season one and season two, as I mentioned, there was probably always elements behind the scenes that I was aware of where that self-sabotage could always potentially be a problem, even though it wasn't. For the strongest point, if you know what I mean, I was still turning up. I wanted to do it. It was for all the right reasons. But it was funny then, suddenly, when had to talk about the subject itself, Michael really dropped me into the deep end of it. It was like, well, while we're here, why don't you just take a little wander to all the extremes of self-sabotage? And because, as you know, when you have an angel, there's no such thing as self-sabotage. It never happens. You know, isn't it? Sarcasm, by the way. Because I think it is that component of, even though I have Michael and there's a lot of information and a lot of guidance and all of those components, there's still the very human part of Gareth that has to go through all of these experiences, as we've talked about before, in mind, body, emotions, of what it means to be human. And even though there is information from Michael and it is all guided and it all makes technical sense and it all makes logical sense, it really doesn't stop me or any of us having to go through the real realities of what it means to be human. And even though it was tough at the time in that way, it actually, as you mentioned, shone a whole new light on self-sabotage and my ability to be aware of it and to study it and to continue pushing forward, which is growth, which is why self-sabotage happens, or why we become aware of it.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, or... Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk about this, but when you were having that experience, one of the key components in it, and we spoke about this the second time we did the recording, was that in our industry, there's not very many people that are at the top level that are talking about things that are happening in their personal lives. Yeah. And so there's a level of vulnerability in the fact that you were having that awareness around the self-sabotage, and then being willing to come and speak about it to everybody here, because very rarely do you hear that.
Yeah, and I think for anyone listening, and let it be in the spiritual world, self-help, like in any of the industries, I think when you're turning to people for guidance or support or information, knowledge, whatever it might be, it's easy to forget that that person's also human and that they are actually going through their day-to-day lives also, and they're also being exposed to new experiences, that even if they have the tools to help them go through it, every new experience always wipes the slate clean, because it's a new set of exposures to it, is that reality. And I think that's why I was even excited to jump on and actually have this conversation for the third time. So really want to get that in there. That's how determined we are, for the third time, because it's very human, as you were saying. And we always wanted this podcast, myself and Kim, to be a very real place, to be a vulnerable place for people to understand is that, yes, myself and Kim have a lot of experience. Yes, we've been through a lot. Yes, we have an angel, but life still happens along the way. And we want to share our experiences from the past, but we also want to share the realities of our day-to-day lives, of what we're still trying to figure out, go through, and wrap our heads around, because it's forever evolving and changing. So that's what was really fascinating for me. But as looking back, that's why it was meant to happen, for us to be able to have this conversation, or at least part of it.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point to say that we do have to have the human experiences. I've often said many times that a lot of people think because I am very good at what I do, and I've come a long way in my life, I have so many experiences. And when they hear that I'm having human experiences, they go, what? I thought you'd have the answers to that. Well, I can have all the answers in the world, logically.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that emotionally and spiritually, I've got what I'm meant to get from it.
Or physically, when you're knocked on the head.
I think the physical side of things sometimes for me is how my angels get my attention. And I had no doubt about that on Monday morning.
Yeah, I still believe Michael tripped you.
Somebody definitely tripped me. And so just so for our audience members, they understand, I'm sitting here talking to Gareth and I actually have quite the black eye and bruises all down the side of my face because I tripped on a slope and ran into a metal fence post and gave myself a concussion. And what's interesting is as I sat on the ground in that moment, I was like, yes, I do know exactly what this is about. Mm-hmm. And no, not want to discuss it right now. And am I happy that I had to bang my head against the wall yet one more time? No, I'm not
quite
happy
literally
that I had to do that. And so I also, sitting on the ground, humiliated and embarrassed, thought, you know, I often tell people we really need to be careful of our language because the mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. Mm-hmm. So I'm changing that terminology. I'm no longer saying that I have to learn by banging my head against the wall. I got that lesson at least.
Because yeah. I do remember when we jumped on Monday for record, obviously, that was still very fresh. It happened the day of. Yeah. And for the first 5 minutes of the conversation, Kim couldn't remember the conversation as we were trying to talk about self-sabotage, which is also really interesting. So not only was the recording not usable for technical reasons, Kim couldn't remember the first 5 minutes of the conversation. So it was, again, it's not funny, but you know what I mean. It's looking back, it's amazing how layered it is and how we're able to talk about all of this now in the different ways it affects both of us and many others. But I guess what I would like to move into is maybe understanding why self-sabotage maybe happens on a spiritual level. So what I mean by that is kind of similar to the elements we talked about manifestation, in meaning that one of the main quotes that I think people took from that episode was, it's designed to work, but it's also designed to fail.
Right.
And meaning that with self-sabotage is that sometimes we are designed to get in our own way because certain things are not meant to happen or evolve or occur, or we're not meant to meet certain people until the timing is right, because maybe there's still certain experiences or things we have to go through or process before we're allowed to, per se, move on to the next chapter or for the next thing to unfold in front of us. And with that comes our ability to self-sabotage, to, I want to say, bias time or to get in our own way, or for other things to get in our way. And that's why, in our previous recording that is now gone, we mentioned how self-sabotage is kind of actually a guarantee that's going to happen for all of us in life in different ways, no matter how much we try to control it or not.
Well, one of the things I think you left out just then when you were talking about it is, I think spiritually it happens sometimes until we've gained the understanding of certain experiences,
yep,
because we can't actually make that next step until we understand the previous experiences that we've been through.
Yep.
And an example that I'm going to give, and I think I've given it every time, so you'll be bored with it, but is, you know, when my father passed away. And so just to give people context, I was 24. My dad had kicked me out at 17 because I had a drinking problem. He asked me to come home. I got sober for a week. He said he was a big man. He could admit when he was wrong and bought a bottle of Jack Daniels. I sat down at the table. Now, you have to understand, my father used to say I was never going to make it in the world. Mm. We sat down to eat dinner. I was eating dinner. I looked up. I had this awareness that he was dying. I thought I was going crazy. I kind of wanted to say something, but I froze. I said nothing. And my dad promptly passed away from a pulmonary embolism. Mm. I was 24. Now, fast forward 20 years, 20 some odd years.
Yep.
And I've done all this growth. I've gotten sober. I've learned all these different techniques and actually am now practicing and learning to practice part of the stuff that I do now. And I was having a session with someone, and what I want to say about it was I had gotten to this point where I had hit a glass ceiling.
Mm.
And everybody will be familiar with the glass ceiling. And I was working and working and working, and I couldn't get past that ceiling. So I decided to have a session with someone I really trusted on it.
Yep.
During that session, the practitioner said to me, "You keep making this face. What's happening?" And I said, "I just keep getting this image of my dad on the day he died." And she said, "Okay, we'll go there. What was it about that?" And I didn't understand it. And so we just kind of dove into it a little bit. And out of nowhere, I had this huge awareness that my dad had told me I had a problem with alcohol and drugs. And then I tried to prove to him that I didn't. The day that he died, I knew he was right that I had a problem with alcohol and drugs.
Yep.
But I wanted the alcohol more than I wanted to tell him. He died. Then on an unconscious level, this was the awareness I had that I've been living a legacy to my dad. The fact that he, or in my unconscious mind was, well, he was right about the drugs and alcohol. He must be right about the fact that I'm never going to make it anywhere. And so that was my glass ceiling. And there was this huge emotional response and we worked through it. And my life changed that day.
Mm.
Now, I don't want to say it was a big bang theory, yep. but it was a very noticeable change. The ceiling kind of lifted a bit, quite a bit.
It was an awakening in its own ways. We would have talked about awakenings happening in different ways, and it's not always the huge right. spiritual ones, but it's an awakening of realization and awareness.
And so looking back on that, I go, okay, well, I couldn't move beyond that glass ceiling till I had an understanding of how I had set up this patterning in my life to constantly fail, for lack of a better way of saying it, to prove Dad right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was the only way I could show him that I loved him until I was able to go, well, I can take the love out of the ceiling and start to move forward because I had made so many changes and it was okay for me to move forward.
Out of curiosity, obviously, as you said, you went to someone you trusted and had the conversation, which actually allowed you to lean into the experience to be able to mm-hmm. explore it. Do you think it's possible for you able to have those awarenesses on their own, or do you think it's always a requirement to actually be able to go to someone trusted to help hold that space for us or to give us a different perspective, or is it both?
So I have a firm belief about this. I think it's both
mm-hmm.
because I think some of those awarenesses we can have, but I think our conscious mind, the analytical part of our mind, sometimes I call it the guard at the gate.
Mm.
And so when we have some of these unconscious patterns or emotions that we haven't processed from the past that have been lying dormant, you know, sabotaging every left, right, and center and us not realizing it. Some people call it the shadow. We can call it however we want to call it. We can't necessarily get past some of those, especially if they have huge emotional components.
Yep.
Because they often happen at a time where we didn't have the skills to deal with them. And whether we are able to verbalize it or not, often afraid to go to that emotion because we don't think we can. So the mind goes, we'll just keep that neat and tidy over there. That's enough now. You can move on. Mm. The example that I just gave you, we were tapping and we were working on a completely different
yep.
area around this, and this one little image kept popping up. When that practitioner asked me about it, I had no idea why that was happening. Mm. And it was her expertise that said, well, just go there, which was like taking a 180-degree turn from where we were.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Mm. But boy, was it a huge release once it happened.
Yep. No, because I do think it can be both in the sense of, can you become self-aware and can you do the journey on your own? Absolutely. Do you also naturally do it with other people, let it be friends or family or a professional? Absolutely. I think anyone on the journey begins to become aware of the different ways in we self-sabotage. When you start to come out of the automation mode that we have maybe found ourselves in for decades over any of our given lives. And I think it's that when you're able to take that step back and you start actually maybe reading different books, listening to the podcast, watching different videos, it's only as that awareness continues to strengthen that I feel we can actually begin to build a healthier relationship with the different ways in which we will continue to self-sabotage, but maybe it won't keep happening in the same way under the same circumstances over and over again. But we at least have the tools of how to be able to work through it on our own with other people, with people that we trust. And I think that is a huge component or part of it, because if I even just go through that list again and again, Kim, I'm curious to see, do you still do these things from day to day or week to week?
Sure. Let's find out.
But the reason why I want to list it is that how Kim and myself deal with these things today versus how we would have a few decades ago. But the question is, do these things still happen? So refusing to ask for help, controlling or micromanaging behavior, picking fights or starting conflicts, setting goals that are too high or too low, avoiding or withdrawing from others, negative self-talk and extreme self-criticism, making excuses or blame shifting, undermining your goals and values, substance abuse, overspending or overdoing it, constantly seeking approval or reluctance to speak up for yourself.
Would you believe me if I said no?
I believe you said no to a few of them.
I actually, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, there was only maybe two on that list that do not pop up on a regular basis anymore, which is the substance abuse.
Yep.
But most of the others do show up in
their own way.
In their own way. Not nearly as damaging as they did before, usually on a much milder level. And I think one other thing I really want to share about some of this, Gareth, is when I first got sober, I got told many times that they didn't think I was going to make it. And so for me, that was one of the things that, you know, you tell me I can't do it, hide and watch, I'm going to go and do it. But beyond that, what I started to understand was no one knows me like me. So the only way I am really going to get to where I wanted to be within me was to ask myself those hard questions on a regular basis.
Exactly.
And so I started way back then going, what's my part in this? What can I own in this? What do I need to pick apart and look at and find out whether that is me doing this to me, or is it really the other person? You know, unfortunately, I really don't like it anymore because it's usually me doing it to me.
Yeah. but I think that's why I read out the list again, because I think in even going through that list, even if someone was to listen to that and pause it and re-listen to it, read it out, and actually begin to question in what ways am I doing these things to myself, it can be an amazing guide or an awareness of where we actually need to go to do the work within ourselves and mind, body, emotions, or maybe what books we need to read, or maybe what support we need to go and seek from a professional to some way. And I feel as that even if you and I go through that list now, we would have some awarenesses or ongoing insights as well, because we're all human. And as I mentioned, that on the spiritual path, we are built to continue to self-sabotage. Because when there's growth, as you mentioned earlier, it brings up a world of emotions, it brings up fear. And when it comes to that fear factor, it can be that sometimes we self-sabotage even when we're close to success, or even when we're close to the goals that we've been waiting for our entire life. And because, again, we're not built to process change. We're not built to process emotions of any kind, either be it the highs or the lows, more often than not. So I think in even going through that list, and as you said, being sometimes brutally honest with yourself, in what that's bringing up in you, can it be an amazing guide for growth? One of many, of course. But I'm hoping in us having this conversation is that people will understand that being aware in the different ways that we do self-sabotage can be actually a very healing thing and can bring up so much independent self-growth.
Absolutely. And as you went through that list and what you just spoke about then about self-sabotaging, and when we're almost at the brink of success, I think it's a huge part of self-sabotage for many people. If you have lived a life where you have a lot of negative self-talk, if you've had a lot of trauma, if basically all of us. I don't want to go through every single one of them again. And we get close to having the success that we have perceived that we wanted for however long. We're about to hit that goal, for lack of a better way of saying it. If we have never successfully sat with that before, there is a part of us that goes, whoa, get back there into your comfort zone, because you don't even know what's on the other side of that success. Mm. It could lead to a whole new can of worms. You better get back here because you know how to do this.
Or it's familiar. Doesn't mean it's comfortable, but it's familiar, so we can control it.
Exactly. And I think that's a huge part of self-sabotage that we have to talk about. Mm. Because naturally, as you said, we've not been taught how to deal with change. Mm-hmm. And so because we've not been taught how to deal with change, the word, the unknown, becomes such a daunting place for so many people. People always think that it's going to be that jumping off the high diving board and that everything is going to be different, instead of realizing that, yes, things might change, but I'm still going to be here each moment. And each moment I have the ability, when I'm present and aware, that I can deal with whatever is coming up. And so therefore, that unknown really isn't unknown. Mm. It's just unfamiliar. And I think that's a huge thing, because many people wouldn't even realize. And I can say that from experience, because people said to me, you know, what do you think holds you back, Kim? And I used to go, oh, fear of failure, fear of failure, fear of failure. And I had one wise soul say to me once, I don't think it's that. You failed so many times, you kind of perfected it. And I went, true, that's very true. And they said, we think you're afraid of success because you don't know how to do that.
Exactly.
So I think that's a huge one for lots of people.
I most definitely agree. And I feel like, for the third time for us coming on to talk about the subject of self-sabotage, I want to give ourselves a pat on the back that we actually got through the episode without either of us spiraling or erupting. Self-sabotage is okay. It is inevitably going to happen with us all. It's no one's fault that we weren't given the awarenesses around how self-sabotage is a reality for us all and for the people around us. It's not our fault that we didn't have the tools or the ability to explore it and to continue to become self-aware of its impacts on our day-to-day lives. And I think when we begin to normalize some of these realities of self-sabotage and how it impacts us, it's not that we're giving into it, it's that we actually know how to use it as a tool to actually promote even more growth within any of our given lives. And I feel over the last 2 weeks, we both have experienced self-sabotage in different ways, undoubtedly been the foundation of a lot of growth for us both.
I would definitely agree with that. And if I were going to say anything to anyone, getting curious.
Yeah.
Just getting curious and diving into it.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to explore these topics more with us, please go to www.patreon.com/practical spirituality podcast. Not only will that help us keep producing these shows, but you'll also get advance access to each new episode, the opportunity to ask questions directly of Gareth and I, input into what topics we will cover on the show, access to exclusive content not available anywhere else. See you over on Patreon.